Something we've talked about on our show, I believe from day one, is when it comes to texting and driving, that distracted driving is much more than just that. Distracted driving is much more than just our phones. And we've seen studies recently to prove that point. I still believe that our law here in Utah should simply be a distracted driving law. No matter what you are doing to be distracted, that should be the thing that's against the law, not specifically doing very specific things on your cell phone.
Well, and I was thinking about it. We've been seeing this technology that allows you to plug your phone into your car, and then a lot of the phone functionality appears on the dashboard. So now it's going to look like you're just messing with your car stereo, which
right.
is not against any laws. So, but you're controlling your phone through your car stereo. So, again, diving into all the specific of technology, I think, is a mistake like you're talking about. One of the things that was most surprising to me, though, about teen behavior is that texting is only about 12% of the time the cause for an accident.
Right. But cell phones in general, this is all from data compiled by AAA. They looked at what they did. A lot of parents will put these cameras in their kids' cars so they know what their kids are doing.
There's insurance companies that offer them.
And so they looked at about 7,000 videos of crashes, because what happens is these cameras will turn on in the 12 seconds before and after a few things. A hard brake, or taking a corner super fast, or taking on impact. So they had 7,000 of these videos of crashes. And they could look and see what the driver was doing right before any of those things happened. And what they found was that, yes, cell phones are a problem, but guess where they came in the lineup? Number two.
Yep.
They were the second biggest problem when it came to distraction. The number one cause of distraction for teenagers, this is ages 16 to 19, another passenger in the car.
Some interaction with another passenger.
This is
passenger.
What I've been saying about my kids the whole time. They are my biggest distraction by far in my car.
Well, and I wonder if, because we don't have this type of data on adults.
No.
I wonder if you had these cameras in this many cars with adults, it would be interesting to find out what is the number one cause of accidents for adults.
And this was surprising to AAA because they had reports from police about what had caused the accidents, and they didn't come to the same conclusions. But seeing the hard data from the video systems, that's what they found. And because of all this information, they are recommending two things. They are recommending that all states have laws prohibiting cell phone use by teen drivers. I think you already know how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
Second, they want states to outlaw any passenger when a teen is driving to one family member or one non-family member. So one friend.
Okay.
For the first 6 months of driving.
So they can have a friend for the first 6 months?
But only one. We have a similar law here in Utah. You've gone through teen driving with your kids. I think it's 6 months.
Yeah.
With no passengers, unless it's a family member here in Utah. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't have teens driving yet. But they said, AAA says, this is indisputable evidence that teen drivers are distracted and more distracted than we realized before now. So calling, texting, or otherwise using their phone, it was for an average of 4 seconds is what it took their eyes off the road. Any use of their phone, 4 full seconds of their eyes off the road in those last few seconds before a crash. And so the evidence is pretty good here, but I think in Utah, we're already handling this, they're asking.
Right, but is that stopping the distraction? It's interesting. I bring up adults because I consider myself a pretty good safe driver. I don't text and drive. I barely use voice commands. I drive. But in the past few days, We've been driving these Chevy Silverados from over at Jerry Seiner, and they have all of these different sensors on them. To the point, I've never driven a vehicle like this, and it has lane sensors. So what'll happen is you're driving along, and if you move over the line or close to the line, and your signal indicator is not on, that side of the seat will vibrate
just
underneath.
Just a gentle little
bzzz. Yeah, just a vibration.
Kind of like when you get a text message.
Yeah. And the other thing it does is if you're getting too close to the car in front of me and you're at a speed where your stopping distance will not be enough, a light flashes on the dashboard and the entire seat vibrates.
I haven't had that happen yet.
It happened to me one time in bumper to bumper traffic, and it was one of those. I would have been fine, but I appreciated the indicator. And what I'm learning is a lot about myself and how I drive.
Me too.
And more often than I would have admitted to, am I changing a radio station or doing those things that aren't texting, where I will veer a little bit, and the seat vibrates. And
yeah,
now I'm like, this thing is a backseat driver, but it is telling me and reminding me that even though I'm trying to be very good with texting while driving, there are still many other things. And it could just be looking at a cool car that went by, that Tesla that just drove by, or the construction going on.
Well, and the AAA study actually looked at that, Jay, and they listed a half dozen types of distraction of these kids. And like I said, cell phones were number two, interacting with other passengers number one. But the other things were what you just said, looking at something inside the car, looking at something outside the car. And then I love these, singing or moving to the music. That was a distraction. Grooming, we always know about that one.
Not
and
a problem
then
for
finally,
me.
Finally, just reaching for something. So these are all distractions, and we just need to take a closer look at how we're making these laws. And are we just doing them because it sounds good, or are we really trying to cut down on distracted driving?
Well, and here's the big question for me. I have two teen drivers right now, one more coming up. How do you know, parents? How do you know how well they're driving? How do you know if they're following the speed limit? How do you know if they're texting while driving? How do you know if they're being safe? Well, the answer is technology is available. It's out there right now in the form of apps and devices and even things coming to the cars in the near future that will help you know so that you can better parent and better train. We were talking about just letting our teens drive these cars we're in so they can get an idea and have some instant feedback. Coming up, we'll tell you what you can do. I have had this experience as a parent, and I'm sure you have too if you have teens or you're getting there. That experience when you send your teen off for the first time in the car.
I can't imagine.
And you're trusting them, and you're also trusting everyone else on the road. It is a terrifying experience. And it takes a long time to where you trust your teenagers. I will tell you, both of my daughters, one who's 20 and one who is almost 18, they're great drivers now. I trust them. But those moments, oh my goodness, it was like, and my wife especially, she couldn't handle it. She couldn't be involved in the training process, nothing. She's like, that is your job. No magic house in teaching them how to drive. And I've often wondered, though, do my kids text and drive? I ask them. They say no. Are they rowdy with their friends in the car? I ask them. They say no. But how would I know? How would I be able to tell? So what we did is we send out our producers to find out what is available for you as parents to help you help your kids be better drivers. And there are apps. There is technology built into cars. Both now and in the future. And there are things that your service provider can also provide to you, AT&T, Verizon, those types of things. So we've been able to speak to several app developers and providers. We're going to share with you what they have available. And we're also going to post this up on Facebook so you will be able to look at these resources and know what's out there. The first one we actually talked about a couple of days ago. This is in the future, 2016.
Not very far.
The Chevy Malibu, when you buy it, you'll get a key fob for you and for your wife, but also for your teen. And so the car will know when a teenager is driving.
If they don't steal your key fob.
Yeah, exactly. And it will do several things. First of all, the radio will not turn on until it's buckled.
Love
in
it.
In the car, right? And then you can keep them from blasting it at too high of a volume level. You can dictate that. It'll issue warnings when they exceed preset speed limits. If any of the in-car built-in safety features are alerted, like we were talking about blind spots or whatever, it will alert you. So that's coming from GMC first through the Chevy Malibu. I expect that you will see that on all of their vehicles.
And then I think we will see it in other manufacturers as well. This is the future of driving for kids.
Right. Now let's talk about your phone providers. All three major wireless companies offer free apps that keep kids from texting while driving. Now they don't.
I think you have to say that again.
Okay. All three major wireless companies offer free apps that keep kids from texting while driving. Unfortunately, they don't all work with every phone. Okay. Because they have, because they have direct access to the carrier's network, these apps can do things that other apps can't. So looking at a carrier-level app mm-hmm. is a great idea. So we spoke with Susan Tantra with AT&T about their free app. It's called Drive Mode. She says the app they created helps teens stop texting while driving.
That uses GPS technology to tell when a car is moving more than 15 miles per hour. And when you get a text message, it will send an auto message back to them, kind of like an out-of-office alert, to let them know that you're driving and that you can't respond because you need to pay attention to the road.
So that's very cool. It just knows using GPS that they're in a vehicle. It activates at a certain miles per hour and it will stop them from texting. And, of course, you will have to answer the question, what if they're not driving the car? I think it's going to kick in, right, if they're not driving the car. She also said there are parental controls within the app.
A parent can get a text message automatically if the teenager tries to turn off the app.
So if the teenager tries to deactivate the app on the phone, you'll get a text message saying, hey, they're trying to turn the app off.
Love it.
Right? So built-in controls.
It's like a built-in tattletale
yes.
five-year-old telling on your teenagers. Jimmy's not using the app.
The best thing about AT&T's Drive Mode, it works on Android and iOS. So that's awesome. Now you have Sprint's. It's called Drive First. It does the same thing, but it only works for Android. Okay.
See, this is what I was talking about. I don't like having to say, I'm going to do an Android phone, an Android car.
Yeah, I know.
Let them work everywhere.
So theirs only works for Android. Theirs allows you to designate a handful of numbers that are VIP contacts. Those calls can get through, or those texts can get through.
Okay.
Which is nice for parents.
Well, but I will point out here, I mean, I don't have kids who drive yet, but I do think parents need to be a little more cognizant of not texting and calling their kids when you know your kid is driving.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I could see myself forgetting about that. Oh, okay, see you later, love ya. And then in 5 minutes, you call them. You know they're driving, so don't do that.
Yeah. Verizon's app is called Safely Go. It's an Android app, and it's similar to Sprint's. No iPhone.
Those are great ideas, and just knowing that they have extra things on them because they're at a carrier level.
Yes.
That can help you when you're trying to decide. There's so many apps out there.
Now, most of them are Android apps because iPhone doesn't let you mess with their system. That's why if you're with AT&T, get that iPhone app. We also spoke with a company called Mojo, and they have an app. And we spoke with Jay Juro. He's the CEO. He says you just plug it into the car's, you know, the data port in the car.
Uh-huh.
You download the app, and your car starts to communicate with your phone instantly.
So Mojo is the world's leading open platform for connecting cars to apps on your smartphone that can literally talk to your car.
So then you get all kinds of information from your car.
Sure, you know when they hard
brake. That's right.
You know all that stuff.
You know what they're doing in the car and a lot of other information.
That takes into consideration what you're doing behind the wheel, how fast you're going, are you parked, are you moving, and manages that connection, that relationship with each other in a very safe and convenient way.
And it will also notify you the minute it's disconnected. So if they unplug it, you get a message.
It seems like, why would your kid think anything was plugged in there,
right,
though?
Right.
You don't have to share that information.
Yeah, you never tell them how you know. You just tell them that you know, right?
Could have been a neighbor who told
it was
on
a village.
You.
It takes a village. You just tell them somebody turned you in. You can't do anything. We'll find out. Here's what we're going to do. We'll put a list. I have a list of the apps you can find in Google Play, a list of these apps for Verizon, Sprint, and AT&T, and also a link to that Mojo app and hardware. We'll put those up on our Facebook page so you can find them and access them. Just some great tools to help you be a better parent and a better trainer.